free from the law, covenant to covenant. So how do we know what to keep and what not to keep? If they're in the Bible, why don't we keep them? How do the laws relate to the new covenant? And why is that important? Let me warn you right off the bat, we cannot go over this exhaustively. Because you would be exhausted. And we'd have to plan lunch and dinner. So we're not going to be able to do that. But we are hopefully going to address some of these questions for you. Prior to the Exodus, God had made a covenant, or a binding agreement. First with Noah, called the Noahic covenant. Then with Abraham, called the Abrahamic covenant. And finally with Moses at Mount Sinai. This is usually called the Mosaic covenant. It's sometimes called the Sinai covenant. But they were binding agreements. Each new covenant came with a promise and an expectation. Under the Mosaic covenant, God promised Moses that he would continue to bless the people of Israel if they would obey him and the laws that Moses would eventually write out in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. This is what was called the Mosaic Law or Mosaic Covenant. There was one other covenant made in the Old Testament. It was made, it's called the Davidic Covenant. And God made this specifically between King David and his family and himself. So those were the covenants that are involved in the Old Testament. And the Davidic covenant was a setup to the next covenant that we're going to talk about this morning. When God installed the Mosaic Law, he knew that the people of Israel would not be able to keep them. Isn't that funny? It's kind of like saying to your kids, hey, listen, you get straight A's, I'll buy you a new Xbox. Knowing there's no way in the world he's going to get straight A's. Right? Well, God has a standard, and that standard is perfection. But he knows we're not going to get that on our own. And so, what he did was he installed the back sacrificial system that we invariably read about in Leviticus. If you do this, bring a young bull. And when you bring a young bull, you have to kill it like this, you have to do it like this, you have to give it over here, and then, if you do this, you are ceremonially unclean. And to get out of that, you've got to do this, and this, and that. He had a system for which to be atoned for the fact that you could not measure up. So, the system was only meant to be temporary, however. It required a constant parade of inadequate sacrifices. And if we pastors think we're busy now, think about the priests killing several hundred animals a day, or maybe several thousand animals a day, if the people were, you know, really bad that day. Think about that. Killing, sacrificing, going through all these things hundreds of times every day. They were busy. But it was supposed to be temporary. They were inadequate sacrifices. But why were they inadequate? Because they only served for the moment. God already had a permanent plan in mind. Isn't that great? God looks ahead. We don't get to, but he does. And he had a perfect plan in mind. The prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 31:31-34, sets us up for this next covenant. He said, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. God said he would write the law on our hearts and in their minds. But how would he do that? Before Jesus ascended into heaven, after his resurrection, he told the disciples, I am sending you my Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the way in which God's laws are written on our hearts and our minds. See, we have something the Old Testament people never had. We have Christ living inside of us. In the New Covenant, you never have to walk it alone. Isn't that great? In each of the other covenants, there were new laws that came with the covenant that had to be obeyed. But what are the new laws of this new covenant? Surely there has to be some out there. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, gave us the new law when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of the Ten Commandments are encompassed in these two commands. But what about all the other laws that are contained in the law of Moses? The Apostle Paul tackles this subject in depth, and this is where we are not going to have time to really focus on this. When we get to out of Leviticus and we work our way and we get to Romans, boy, it'll take longer than Leviticus, I can tell you that. But the Apostle Paul tackles this, and he explains that the law shows us that we are sinners. See, the law wasn't just put there to show God's standard of perfection. The law was put there to show us that we can't make the mark. He explained that the law was perfect and we are not. We could not hope to keep them all, which is why God set in place the sacrificial system. Paul goes on to say that those that live according to the law of the flesh are destined to die. But those who live by the law of the Spirit will live. I was talking to Shannon yesterday at our mission thing, and I was saying, when you're studying Romans, float over to Hebrews. Because they say they don't know who wrote Hebrews. Like a lot of people say, John, and some people say Paul. When you read Hebrews 8 and Romans 8, you'll think you know who wrote it. Because Hebrews 8 is almost a clarifier of what Paul writes in Romans 8. And he says, but in fact, the ministry of Jesus have received is a superior to theirs, the old prophets, as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. Okay, wow, this is something. So this new covenant is better. It's a better agreement. The new Gentile Christians at the time in Galatia were being accosted and hassled by the Jewish Christians that had come to Christ out of Judaism. And so the Galatians were Gentiles. And they were being told by some of the Jewish Christians that you need to follow Jewish law. In fact, many of them were being told, you need to go get circumcised. And Paul knew that this was wrong. And he tells them in Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 7, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. The word gospel, keep in mind, the word gospel means good news. And what the Jews were telling these people wasn't good news at all. Because, see, they wanted them to come back, go backwards into the old way, instead of claiming the grace of Jesus Christ. And Paul knew that it was not good news to enslave the Gentiles in the old Jewish laws. One of the clearest verses in Galatians that I like is in Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 through 25. Paul says that, so the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. That sounds a whole lot plainer, doesn't it? It's easier to get that. Okay, that was put here for a reason. When most of you have grown kids, and you'll probably understand this, but you know, when you were four, you had certain guidelines. When you're 16, those guidelines change. When you're 21, they probably change again. Hopefully, you don't expect your kid, your 42-year-old child, to be home by midnight. Although I will say, in all of those athletes out there, nothing good happens after midnight. But you don't have the same rules for your adult child that you had when you were a child, right? And so God had installed these for the Israelites as a guardian. Here's what is expected of you. And when you don't make it, here's what you can do to atone for it. But now we have something far better. We have our faith in Jesus Christ, and we don't need the guardian anymore. Let's look at an example God showed us to Peter. In Acts chapter 10, we'll read 9 through 15. Let me set this up. So Peter had just come to a house. He was tired, and he went up on the roof. Yes, in those times, they slept on the roof. And he went on the roof, and he says, about noon the following day, they were on their journey. And approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. And the voice spoke to him a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. So, if God's saying here, hey, listen, all that animal stuff, that's off the table. You forget about that. Was that the point of the story? No. That was not God's point at all. God was saying, was preparing him for something that was coming. And so just after this occurred, a messenger from a Roman centurion came and asked Peter to come to his house. Now, Jews were not allowed to eat with Gentiles. God showed Peter that this was an old system. that had been replaced by the law of love. See, God was saying that the salvation of people is much more important than some old laws that prevented Jews from entering the homes of the Gentiles. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2, verse 29, no, a person who is a Jew who is born inwardly in circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise was not from other people, from God. Paul tried to point out to the Galatians and others that circumcision is a matter of heart holiness. It comes in here. And if you read through Galatians, one of my favorite verses says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What a great promise that is. But Paul is pointing out that this fleshly stuff, the laws were given to us to keep us from falling into, that's not the point. The point is your holiness inside. It's not by the keeping of the law that we are grafted into the family of God. It is only through grace and faith in Jesus Christ. When you read through the letters of Paul, especially Romans and Galatians, you will see that Paul was adamant that we, and I'm guessing that every one of us in here is a Gentile. We have any 100% Jews in here? I'm thinking not. So, we are Gentiles. And so he's talking to you, and he says, we're not to enslave ourselves to the Jewish law. This law was given to the Jews as a temporary guard and was always meant to be replaced by the law of love and grace. The new covenant has replaced the old one because it had internalized the spirit of the law. It was able to do that because of the coming of the Holy Spirit, who lives in each and every believer of Jesus Christ. After quoting this passage from Jeremiah that we've already read, the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 8:13 says, by calling this covenant new, that Jeremiah had done, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. How many of you know that even the Jews don't do a lot of this stuff? Even the Jews that follow Jewish tradition don't do a lot of stuff. Because why? Because they don't have a temple. And they believe if they don't have a temple, they can't do the sacrifices. So they can't even go through with all of their law stuff. And they try. Oh, how hard they try. You know, they have some things in here. Someone told me about this. They have a buzzer, you know, like a doorbell type thing, to turn their lights on and off because flipping a switch is work, and they can't do that on a Sabbath. But if they press the button, that's not work. Is that ridiculous? And that infuriated Jesus. This sticking to the letter of the law. Well, if your cow falls into the mud, you can leave it there after Monday? Absolutely not. Right? You healed on the Sabbath. So, how is the old law obsolete, and which ones do we still obey? Here's a simple method. If you obey the new laws, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, you won't lust, so you won't commit adultery. And that's simple. You will not covet your neighbor's anything because you love him. So you will not steal from him or lie about him. The new covenant has gotten rid of the temporary things, like having to wear blue tassels on all of your clothes. Did you know that was a requirement? You got to put blue little tassels on all your clothes. You're Jewish. Or they had to wear phylacteries. Anybody know what a phylactery is? Anybody seen that? Kim knows. They wore these things usually on their foreheads or on their wrists. It was like a humongous Apple Watch. For our people today, I've got my Apple Watch on here, and I can find my Bible verses on my Apple Watch if I want to. Well, they had to wear their scripture verses from the Torah on their wrists or on their forehead. They pull it out. Any of you have those daily? Did you ever have that bread box? Who had the bread box? A little ceramic bread box with the little word for today that had a little piece of scripture. Imagine wearing that bread box on your wrist. Or on your forehead. I can't see you, honey. That's ridiculous. That's what they need to remember who God was and what you said to them. We don't need that because I got the Holy Spirit. While getting rid of those things, it magnifies, we were talking about this in Sunday school, it magnifies some of the other things. Because Jesus said, if you have hatred in your heart for someone, if you cry, Raka, brother, Raka means fool, idiot, if you cry, idiot, to your brother, you're in danger of the pit of hell. Jesus said, if you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery. See, it magnifies those other things because your heart is called to be holy. Why should it be holy? Because this is where God lives. In the Old Testament, that temple was holy. I love this building. But it ain't holy. You guys are. You're the family. You're the church. And God living in each and every one of you, that's holy. So, because of the coming of the Messiah, we are not bound to all those things that the Jews had to adhere to. We are bound by our love for God and our love for others. In this way, we are free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Anybody remember that song? Free from the law, oh, happy condition. But you're not free from everything. Did you know that? Somebody wrote that song. Remember, you got to serve somebody. And they're right. Jesus said, can I serve God and man? Everybody has a master. We aren't slaves to the old law, but we are bond slaves to Jesus Christ. See, a bond slave, he chooses his master. The new covenant is better because it is based on grace. Jesus does not want you to be enslaved to sin. Do you know that until such time that you give your life to Jesus, you have no possible way of continually doing what is right? You can't. Because your will is going to step in and say, well, I want to do this. I want that. I want to do this. I want her. I want it. Right? Constantly. He wants you to give yourself to Him so that He can wash you white as snow. He will throw your sins, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. That is an infinite line. That is not like our planet. Oh, we've got the east and the west here. It's infinite. It keeps going on. He chooses to remember them no more. You just have to ask Him in and believe on Him with all your heart. And if you've never come to that place in your life, you are still a slave to the old law and to the old self and sin and Satan. You you have no chance to do what is right. Give Him your heart today and let Him write His word on your heart and in your mind. Maybe you're a Christian, but you haven't been living a life filled with... Maybe you've been going on and living this life of do's and don'ts. And, you know, Mark and I'll let you do this today. I'm in good shape here. And, you know, I went to the mission center. I've got to give you a couple points over here. All right. And, you know, I did call somebody. They were out today. I called them. I said, let's mark this one off. That's the old law. That's the old law. We're not living like that. Maybe you aren't living a life of love. Maybe you harbor resentment for someone. You haven't forgiven them for something. See, God calls you to love your neighbor as yourself. We were talking this morning in Sunday school, and I said, I believe that one of the biggest killers of churches is gossip. And somebody will get their feelings hurt by somebody saying something that maybe they really didn't even mean to say in the same way. And then they harbor that thing, it's the gap in the way. And it'll tear a church apart. I've seen it happen. Man, that's right here. You've got to get that right. Until you start living a life of love. Loving God with every ounce of your being, not just on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays when we come here, but all the time, and loving your neighbor as yourself. That's what God wants from you. Jesus said, I came that you might have life. And that is salvation. That part, that other second part, and it more abundantly. That is holiness. That is the Holy Spirit leading you in every direction that you should go. And I can't tell you how amazing it is when you surrender your will and you do that. Would you bow your head?